Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We exalt you. Thank you for the riches of your glory, the riches of your grace that has been demonstrated towards us as believers. Thank you, Father, for that everlasting nature and everlasting life you've deposited in us by the giving of your Spirit. We decree that as we go into the world this morning, our eyes of understanding is enlightened. We receive the wisdom of the Spirit, function in and by that Spirit in the name of Jesus. At the end of today's meeting, our eyes are enlightened to behold the riches of your glory. Our eyes are enlightened to see ourselves more the way you see us in Christ. At the end of this meeting, only Christ is glorified. The focus is on Christ, and we, the believers, are edified. Glory to God. This morning, where are we going to? Sorry, you missed it. Give me Matthew chapter 28. Give me Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, right? Go ye therefore. So verse 18 and 19 will make it seem like Jesus just came and appeared from thin air and just said, all power is given unto me, go. But we've established that Luke records in the book of Acts chapter 1 that Jesus did a teaching for how many days? He taught for 40 days, but Matthew gave a submitted statement in 3-4 verses, right? He now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know the word there, teach all nations, is to make students of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. So make people students. Make people students, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We've examined that already. We have the name of the Son. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, teaching them to observe all things, right? But the all things you are to teach is related to what? What he has commanded. So, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, there was a commandment. So, what you call commandment was something that Jesus established over the period of 40 days. But Matthew summed it up and said, teaching them, right? Teaching them, that is from the word didaskalia, and that, you know, in all related to teaching, teaching with a particular explanation. So it is teaching them the way he taught. So teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Right, so we see that there's an instruction to every discipler, or rather every disciple, or in fact, let's say it this way, every believer has an instruction, or every believer takes his instruction from the instruction Jesus gave the disciples. Did you get that? Every believer takes his instruction from the instruction that Jesus gave his disciples, which is what he's teaching them to observe all things. So there is a how to what he taught. There's a how to what they are to do. There's a how to the go ye into the world. There's a way of explaining. There's a pattern they are to explain. There's a disposition they should have in their explanation, which will be similar to the disposition that Jesus had in his own explanation. We've established also that the New Testament is the interpretation of what? The Old Testament. So, if we want to understand the Old Testament, we look at how the New Testament was explained the Old Testament. So the food for spiritual growth for the believer is the Old Testament, however, explained in the light of Christ. I'll say that again. The food of the believer is the Old Testament, however, explained in the light of Christ. So for spiritual growth, the believer needs to eat from what? The Old Testament. However, with the lens of Christ. And this month, we saw also that Christ taught them how to pray. He showed an example. You know, he taught them how to fast. He showed an example. You know, the things he taught them to do, he showed particular examples. And this month, we are considering what? Praise through the lens of Christ. So, if the Old Testament are to be understood in the light of what the epistles say or what the apostles explained, we are to say that as believers, we don't have our opinions when we go into the Bible. Are we together? As believers, we don't go into the Bible with our opinion. You know, 2 Timothy makes us understand what? He says what? He says, and a workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, let me add this to that. Rightly dividing the word of truth, right? We said it's a word similar to what miners do and what surgeons do. So that means it requires a sensitive approach. Now, if you are to, now, imagine a surgeon goes into the operating room with his, I won't say cutleries. He goes into the operating room with his, what do you call it? Is that the word? He goes into the operating room with what he's supposed to operate with. That's safe. Right? So he goes in with ease. But now the difference with a believer is that our operating equipment is Christ. To rightly divide the word of truth with the scriptures, our operating instrument is who? Christ. So Christ is the tool you use in dissecting and rightly dividing the Old Testament. Christ is the tool you as a surgeon that goes into the operating room, which is your Bible. Your tool is who? Christ. And it is God's desire that all men come into the knowledge of what? His truth. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 11. You know that popular verse, and he gave some apostles, you know all those, right? He says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Now, take note. He didn't say some pastors and some teachers. Did you see that? It is some pastors and teachers. But every other title you can call had a some. So it is some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, which are teachers. You get that? So, in fact, this particular verse, we'll look at it properly. It is not saying that God selected those who will be apostles. So God will just stand like this, and he just says, you. If I call you, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, you raise your hand. All of you are apostles. This verse speaks more about the offices that people operate in within the local church. We'll look at that properly. Look at the next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, it's not saying perfection of the saints is different from the work of ministry, is different for the body of Christ. You get that? He's saying one and the same thing. So, they are to perfect the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. One sentence. Remember, 2 Timothy 3, given by inspiration for teaching. In teaching, you find assurance, correction, which is altogether training the man of God. So this is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look at the next verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Now look at it carefully. This is a verse a lot of people used to use for when we're in an environment. Let all the churches come together and do end of year Thanksgiving. Unity of faith. So people think unity of faith is about all the churches are united together as brothers. In as much as we are believers and we are to be united as brothers, that is not what this verse is saying. Remember, and is what? So what is the and there? So what is the unity? Unity should be in the knowledge. Not in the coming together for end of the year party. Unity is what? In the knowledge. That is to say, every believer is to say the same thing. Every believer is to have one knowledge of the Son of God. Irrespective of denomination, we are to come into the unity of faith, which is we are saying the same thing. So you go to church A, they are saying Christ died, he was buried, he rose again, and he lives in the believer. You go to church B, the same thing. Not church A is saying Christ died, church B is saying he did not rise, church C is saying we are not even sure. But we're just saying, end of the year Thanksgiving, let's give praise to God for our community. You know, maybe churches in area one now, we just come together and say, let's do end of the year Thanksgiving. We're not going to rent canopy on the open field and be sharing rice. That's not the unity of faith. Unity of faith is that all the saints will come to the same knowledge. Are we together? So we are to have the same knowledge concerning what? The Son. So, how do we have saints that have this same knowledge? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We've seen that the Old Testament is the background for all all or the New Testament books. So we see also that the explanation of the Old Testament are where? In the New Testament books. So if you want to see what Moses said, where do you read? New Testament. Right? Now, this month, summarily, we've established what worship is using biblical terms. And we said worship was about an offering. Right? We also spoke about how praise is speaking well of what? That offering. Right? On Wednesday, we looked at something very beautiful, the blessedness of the believer and the riches of God in the believer. And we said that that riches of God is only limited to that man in Christ. That means if a man can have it without believing what you believe, it is not amongst the blessedness of the believer in Christ. We also established that we should use the terms that the Bible uses for things to explain things. So what the word blessed was used in the New Testament for wasn't used for material things. We saw it, right? Not for once. Two words, Makarios and what? Theology, right? We saw that at none of those times were they used for a car or a house or a mansion. They were all used for what? Explanations of spiritual realities or explanations of things deeper than physical things. We also move forward to see the riches of God's glory, and we saw that the riches of God's glory is not in your car or your house, but in the fact that a believer has the blessedness of that man whose sins are not imputed unto him. So the blessedness a believer has is the forgiveness of sin, which is exclusive to that man in Christ. Now, this is the knowledge that you entire believers should come into. Do you get that? This is the knowledge that the entire believers should come into. That the knowledge every believer should have concerning blessedness is that it is limited to that man in Christ. The knowledge every man should have concerning riches is that it is limited to that man in Christ. Now, how do we come into this knowledge? Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Look at everybody and say, the same. The same. The same. The same. Commit thou or commit them, right? To faithful men who shall be able to do what? Teach others. So you're committing realities to faithful men is for the purpose of teaching others, which Ephesians calls what? Work of ministry for the edifying of the body. Right? For the perfection of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body, which is what Paul told Timothy here. He's saying that the work of ministry is in that man that is able to pass exactly the same thing to other men who would not end it there, but pass it also to other men. Are we together? Are we together? Now, three people come, please. Three people come. One, two, three. Three of you just come. Come and stand here. Come and stand here. I'll tell you something. You tell him, say the same thing. Say the same thing. What did you hear? Was that what I told you? Now, this is 1920. This is 1974. This is 2019. If he succeeded in committing it to a faithful man, what truth would we hear in 2019? The same truth of 1920. Now, anything I tell him, try and sound unique. Okay? Try and say it in your own words. So, you now, you will say it in your own ways. I say it in your own way. You want to sound unique. Brother, what did you hear?
A woman is giving birth.
Oh, yeah, continue, continue.
A woman is giving birth in Israel, and they decided to kill the son. They decided to kill the son. When they killed the son rose back again.
Okay. What did I tell you? 1920, what did I tell you?
In Israel, Jesus was giving birth.
Oh, I finished.
He died and rose again and lives in the believers.
Did he mention woman? Did he mention woman? No. But our Oga wants to sound unique. And he mentioned woman. Now, because this brother has 5 to 50 people that are following him and calling man of God, he has to maintain that posture even though he's not sure of what this brother said, to keep the crowd. So can you hear, woman, was that the truth that was committed to a faithful servant? Look at the truth another faithful servant is saying. Woman. Woman gave birth. How did that go into biology class? She conceived and gave birth. Mm-mm. Thank you. Go back to your seats. Thank you. Now, the things thou hast heard of me, Paul is saying to Timothy, you know I am your spiritual father. I am the one that taught you these things. These things I have taught you, commit them to faithful men. The same. Look at 19:20. The same thing he committed to a faithful man, he committed to another faithful man. Was it the same thing they said? Within the span of 1990 to 2019, that's about 99 years. Am I correct? So he said, so the truth remained the same. But imagine this brother now having 10 people under him that is calling disciples and is discipling them. What will those 10 say? What you will hear is mischievous. A woman who seemed to be a man, you can hear that nonsense. But we are to commit the same. Look at everyone and say, the same. The same truth of God's word. So the truth of God's word doesn't change with time. Write that down. Truth of God's word doesn't change with time. Men are to keep passing out this truth without an intention to sound unique or look unique. Men are to keep passing down this truth without an intention to sound unique or look unique. Men are to keep passing down this truth without an intention to sound unique or look unique. The same are to be committed to faithful men who will commit to other faithful men, that will commit to other faithful men, and commit also to other faithful men. What I just said is commit those things which you've learned to the same thing, to the faithful man, who will commit to another faithful man. So, the church is where it is right now because of people in between time and space trying to sound unique and twist the truth of God's word. So this month, we're looking at praise through the lens of Christ. And we're trying to see what praise really is. You know, there's a difference between regular singing and singing the praise of Christ. I said something on Wednesday, majority doesn't carry the vote when it comes to the things of God. Popularity is not our reality. That a practice is popular doesn't mean that is where we should function in, or that is where we should end our, or that is what we must do. You know, so when it comes to music and certain things or praises, it usually look like something people always know. But when we look at it properly from the scriptures, we realize that we don't really know anything. That all we know is based on the assumption. You know, there are some people that are still 50, that if you ask them today, what fruit did Adam eat? They will tell you, apple. There are people that are still 70. There are people that are 100 that will die without knowledge. You can imagine living 100 and you will tell that, and that person will tell you his father was a pastor. And his great-grandfather was a pastor. So he came out from a pastor's lineage. Yet, after lineage upon lineage, he did not what? Come to the knowledge that what? There was no even apple mentioned in any of the Bibles. Are we together? It was a man in the quest of trying to sound unique and write children's story book that he designed a children's story book and put apple. Yes, now. Started from a man or a group of people. Glory to God. Now, so today we're going to look at what do we call gospel music? What do we call worldly music? Anything invented by man, invented on earth, is what? Worldly music. Write that down. Anything invented by man or that is earthly is of this world. Anything invented by man and is earthly is of this world. Music deals with several genres, several kinds, and from research, all these genres and kinds are from the world. I'll say that again. Music deals with several kinds and types, and from research, all these kinds and types are of the world, like they started and were originated in the world, on earth. Music deals with several genres and kinds, and from all research, they are all worldly. That's what I said in a different way. All rhymes are of the world. All rhythms are of the world. Makosa o, reggae o, classical, high life o, war o. They all started where? Here. No, I'm thinking of something. I'm not saying we now. I'm saying, you know, I was talking about a man that was saying there's a music room in heaven I should peep from. Remember that story?
Yes.
I should peep from a music room in heaven and play what I'm hearing the angels play. We are to stick to the simplicity of God's word and pass to other people. So, Makosa, High Life, Reggae, all of them are aware of this word. Now, we're going to look at the use of music in the New Testament because we are now a New Testament church. Look at what Jesus used it for in Luke 15, verse 23. Luke 15, verse 23. Luke 15, verse 23 says, "And bring hither the fatted cow and kill and let us eat and be merry. For this my son that was dead is now alive, he has begun to marry." Look at, give me verse 26 where it says the older son was coming and he heard music and dancing. Look at it. "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard" what? "Music." Who was talking in this parable? Jesus, right? So Jesus used the word music. Right? He used the word what? Music. Now, we see that music was used for Mary. What were they doing? They were celebrating the comeback of the son. So music was used for what? Mary. So is music wrong? Why? Because it can be used to make to Mary. Are we together? Now, but remember and take note that the song they were singing that time is not "I'm in him justified, he's in me glorified," right?
Yes.
That means they were singing a type of song that was making them to Mary. Or they were using a part of beat or a type of beat that was making them what? To Mary. Now, we would see that, remember we've established what a gospel song is. A gospel song is that song that speaks about the gospel. And you find that what? In the book of 1 Corinthians, what the gospel is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now, Hebrews 13, 5 now makes us to understand that we should therefore let's offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually, yes? 15, I mean. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I mean, that is the fruit of our lips." What are the fruit of your lips? Words. Words, the fruit of your lips are words. So, remember, what goes into a man doesn't defile a man, but what comes out of his man, of a man? What comes out from a man? His words, which you call the fruit of his lips, which you call the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the fruit he ate from was what? About a saying. Now the point is this. The fruit of your lips is what? The words that come out from you, which is what? Giving thanks to his name. So a believer praises God by the fruit of his lips, which is words. That is giving thanks to his name. What is name? Name. A man's name is what? Reputation. So giving thanks to his work and his reputation. We established also that if you invite Yinka Ayefele to your party to sing the praise of a man's 60th birthday, who will he sing about? The first thing we'll ask for is, what are the things this man has achieved? And he would put it into music to sing for the man. You cannot invite Yinka Ayefele to sing the praises of Mr. Abdul, and you are, it's Mr. Abdul that is paying him, and he's now singing Mr. Kosoko. When you finish, Mr. Abdul just say, "Go and collect your money from Mr. Kosoko." So if, even if in worldly sense, we have that mindset that reference should be given to the man who reference should be given to, when we come to church, the song we are to sing should be in reference to the work of that man who is the center of it all. Are we together? That is to say, the difference is that, now, in as much as, is there any dance that is dance of Jesus?
No.
No. The only dance we see Jesus dance is a rejoicing, agalio, which is to move in an unstable or uncertain manner. So that means every other dance, either you call it break dance or broken dance, they are all of the world. They all originated from the world. Now, think about this. How do you think God gives men talents from the womb? See this thing called dancing? If you don't know how to dance, you know you can train yourself and learn it. If you know how to sing, you know you can train yourself and learn it. It's just about discipline. God is not in heaven looking for who to share gifts to. That one, she will be fine later in life. Give her voice. That one, enlarge her leg so she will do modeling. See, it is a lack of understanding of this that people say their calling is modeling or drawing. If you could model, why didn't they just give birth to you and you started modeling? Age 2 months, they put you on the floor and start walking. That is why ministry is not, if they ask you how is your ministry, you dare not say fine and your answer is about you know how to play keyboard. Ministering is not ushering. That is service in the church. Ministry is ministry of reconciliation for all. So how is ministry? We are talking about what are you doing in reference to that work of Christ. Not how is ministry and your work in the church is to be serving Pastor Water. I was going to say, ministry is great. God is faithful. Ah, explain. Are you not serving water? You're taking care of pastor. What do you call that's your own no. Pastoral care unit. You are there. You need to open church. So if Christ is the focus of the church, that means Christ should be our focus. Singing must not be done in entertainment. Write that down. Singing and praise and worship, or singing your times of praise, must not be done to entertain. Singing must not be done to entertain. A lot of times, what we call praise and worship time is entertainment time. Someone just running from the one of the back of the court. Hallelujah! Put on your dancing shoe. You know, there are some praise and worship sessions now that what they are doing is not different from what they do in Davido's show. Because after all, it's the same people. You don't understand. Let Davido do show and let them put car park. Go to the car park, you see their cars. I'm lifted. You see their sticker. I'm highly favored. This is my year. Super. All church cars, church. Are they not the same people? And where did they go to on Sunday? So you go on Friday, you say David, want to catch his shirt. David will pull his shirt. When you say catch my handkerchief, if you don't have a handkerchief in the hand, let me see your hand, you now throw it. What's the between you as the one that pull his shirt? One is bigger clothes, one is small. So it must not be done in entertainment. So a gospel song, write this down. A gospel song. How do you know a gospel song? You know a gospel song by the content. You know a gospel song by the content. By the fruit of a man's lips, you know if he's singing a gospel song. You know a gospel song by its content. Does it speak of Christ's sacrifice? Write that. Does it speak of Christ's sacrifice? Does it speak of his resurrection? Does it speak of his ascension? You know a gospel music by its content. Does it speak of Christ's sacrifice? Does it speak about the resurrection of Christ? Does it speak about the ascension of Christ in the believer? Does it speak about seated at the right hand of the Father, place of authority? Does it speak about authority and power? Does it speak about the fact that a believer lives forever? Does it speak about eternal life? So when you say a song that speaks about Christ's resurrection, his death, his burial, his ascension, the product of that work, then you have a gospel song. So it is left for you to now select the rhythm you want to give to that song. That's why there's some songs you sing as worship and still sing as praise and go back to worship. Right? Green, white, green. So the content of a song is known to be gospel when you see what it talks about. So, in as much as we are open to remember from our believers' conduct, any gospel that says anything the Bible is not saying about the gospel is another gospel. So, you cannot come and say it is wrong to use a particular bit because it is not written in the Bible which bit to be used. Right? So, every bit you are using is worthy. You are the one to select it. So, every dance, no matter the dance you dance, as long as it is a dance that has a name, it's either a cultural dance or a dance of most of these our artists. Right? If a leader is singing Eberemo Lekejo, that thing you used to do, is that a cultural dance? Raka de de, yes, raka. Is that not baggy? Is that not cultural dance? So it's cultural, or an artist rather. Now what's the point? So in selecting the tune or whatever beat we would use or whatever pattern we would use, we must make sure that the glory afterwards is given to what? God. Given to who? God. You must make sure that whatever you will do will not lead people to entertainment. Write that down. You must make sure that whatever you do will not lead to entertainment. We are to selectively know what we would use in the church. We are to selectively know what we will use. We are to select what we use in the church. Will this end up causing distraction? Put aside. You know, we cannot say music. We cannot say we cannot partake in music. Because that will mean you should also say you will not do formal education. That will also mean you should not eat. Are we together? So we are to know. We saw that in the prodigal story, music was used for what? Merry entertainment. Now, there is music for entertainment. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 27. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 27. Look at this carefully. If any of them that believe not, that is anybody that is not a believer, bids you to come and what? Feast. Right? And ye be disposed to go. What does that simply mean? If your friend is doing a party, or a festival, or a feast rather, and is asking you to come, and you are free, you are disposed to go. What did he say that? Say there. Whatever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. That is to say, you can go for a feast. But remember the same Corinthians is talking about, he has said in chapter, go to chapter 6, he had said something about unrestrained freedom. 6:12, remember we were talking about the believer's conduct. Some things are not wrong to be done, but because you are a believer, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The same Paul that said it in the same book, that all things are lawful, however, you are not to do everything, is the same Paul that said, when you are invited for a party, go. That means you should go with the knowledge you've read in verse chapter 6, that is not everything that they do there, you do. They can't be doing cheat or dare, and you are seeing naughty people around you, and you go and participate. For conscience sake. Remember Galatians 5, walk in love, walk in the spirit. So remember what we're talking about believers' conduct when he said that your activities should be on the foundation or basics of what? Love. So we are seeing that people, do you know it's difficult to find someone that hates music? But it's difficult, right? So a lot of people love music. However, there's a certain kind of music you would sing in church that you will not hear when you go for a feast. So your disposition when you go for a feast should now be, that's why we started teaching believers' conduct first. So your believer's conduct should be your guideway and your pathway towards what you do in that feast. So there are some songs they will sing that are saying nonsense. You cannot afford to sing. You must not be the believer in the feast that knows all the lyrics of all the songs and they're singing nonsense, you join. You know the songs that you cannot sing. No, let me say it this way. You know the songs you should not sing. But you know within your heart, you know the full lyrics. Don't lie. You know. Very correct, right? We're not in a generation where you don't need to go to YouTube to download a music before you know a music. Just go to any barber shop. Just enter. Just say you want to cut your hair. Just go for pedicure. That's why I made it happy. Anytime I go to a barber shop, I always try and go with my earpiece. Because what I hear there, one day I just finished barbering my hair. I was driving home. I started nodding my head. I was singing nonsense until I caught myself. What are you saying? I can't remember the exact song. But I just saw myself. I was at traffic light. I mean, no, man, I'm doing like this. I'm doing like this. I even put my handbrake on. I put it on park. The first time I heard the song was because I had spent time in the barbing salon for 1 hour, 2 hours. So you don't need to really download the song to know what the song is saying. So you have to be careful in this time and season you find yourself. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21 verse 16. Remember, we ended here last week Sunday. And said unto him, Hearest thou what this say? And Jesus said unto them, Ye, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babies and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Now, he's not saying that the best praise and worship leaders are in children's church. Now, let's look at the context of what was spoken about. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11, over there. Yeah, it's verse 11. And Matthew said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast all of them that sold and bought. So there were people in the temple that sold and bought. That is what you call merchandise, right? Buying and selling. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Next verse. And said unto them, It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Remember, we did this explanation during prayer meeting. So when he's saying the house shall call house of prayer, he's saying that the believer, the combination of believers meeting together, what they are to be doing is prayer, not buying and selling. So when he's saying that, but you've made it a den of thieves, he's not saying people that are selling are thieves. But he's saying that their activity that they are doing is robbing Peter with Paul. So this is it. You are supposed to be praying in the church, but you are all selling. And now come in and say you are robbing the church of what it should be used for. So the real thing it should be used for was what? Prayer. He's not saying that because you are selling to yourselves, you are a thief. You are a thief in the fact that you are robbing the purpose of the garden. When he says, my house shall be called the house of prayer, it is written, he's talking about how believers have to come together, what? For prayer, not for what? Substance or what do you call it? Robbing Peter with Paul, what I said earlier on. So changing, right? Is that a word? Okay. So now, verse 14, we're going to verse 16. Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them, right? Verse 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he had done, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the son of David, they were so displeased. Next verse 16 now says, now before we read verse 16, something profound we should say. The word there, praise, write that down, is something commendable. Write that down, praise. Praise talks about a commendation, something that is approved of, or something that is commended of. Approval or commendation. Praise speaks about an approval or commendation. So to sing praise will mean to sing what God approves or to commend God for the work well done. Praise means approval or commendation. To sing praise would mean you are singing to God or singing what God approves of or commend God for the work he has done. Commend God for the work he has done. So we see that singing in the apostles, in the epistles rather, was something that was done deliberately. We'll look at that properly on Wednesday. You know, so praise is to speak. We see that the epistles teaches us that the way he says, you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, he says that he that gives thanks in tongues gives thanks what? Well. So the advised way to give thanks to God is singing in tongues. Then if you are in the midst of people, you sing in tongues and interpret it so that the person you are with will be edified. But if you are alone, there is nothing wrong in sticking with singing in tongues for whatever number of hours you want to do. On Wednesday, look at that 1 Corinthians 14 and look at the kind of songs that the apostle sang. When he says, okay, look at Matthew chapter 26 verse 30. Now, look at verse 28. Remember this verse. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. So what was Christ doing? What you call communion, right? What you call communion, what you call bread and wine. He took the bread and was using it as an example of what his body did. He's not saying you should continue taking bread and wine. He took the bread, broke it to show what his body will do on the cross. Right? He said, this is my blood of New Testament, which is shed for many. Obviously, it wasn't his blood that they were about to drink. They are not vampires. He was using water, what they call blood, which was a regular feast they were doing, to show them, we've done communion, right? And baptism. Look at verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink any sort of this fruit of fruit. Now, what she called blood, what is the real name? Fruit of the vine, wine. So what he was saying was not that they used injection and took part of his blood and poured inside a couple of them were supposed to drink. No, that is occultism. They were using fruit from the vine as a practice they were doing over time. Until the day when I drink in the new from my father's kingdom. Look at verse 30. And when they had sung and hymn, they went out into the Mount Olives. Now, what do you think the hymn they will sing in reference to will be? If Jesus finished talking about this, my body, this, my blood, for your sake, and they started singing, the next verse says they started singing, what would they be singing about? What the blood and the body signifies. So from history, we see that one of the regular hymns they sang was Psalm 78. Write that down in your notes. We'll look at that properly on Wednesday, Psalm 78. Usually sang Psalm 78. We already saw that what Paul and Silas were doing, they what? They were praying, and while they were praying, they praised. So it's not Paul and Silas, and they prayed, they sang, the Holy Ghost came down. Holy Ghost came down on the day they believed the resurrection power. Right? But we're saying that they were praying, and in their praying, they sang. That means the singing of the apostles, we'll look at that on Wednesday, was not about the challenges they found themselves in. They sang intentionally. You know, the wall of Jericho fell down flat. You know that song now? Why the children of God were what? Where what? Let's go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 quickly. Follow me attentively here. You will understand this. And seven priests, look at verse 3. And ye shall compass the city. Listen attentively. Ye shall compass the city. Now this is Joshua giving an instruction. All ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Look at it though. Thus shall thou do 6 days. So they were to do an instruction for how many days? 6 days. Next verse. And seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of what? Ram's horn, right? And the 7th day, ye shall compass the city what? 7 times. So they should go around the city how many times? 7. On what day? 7. And the priest shall what? Blow. Their trumpet. What he called trumpet? What did he call it in the second line there? Ram's horn. Right? Ram's horn. Next verse. And it shall come to pass that when they make a large blast of the ram's horn. What? So, don't think of silver trumpets that they used to play in church. It was horn. They were calling trumpets. When he heard the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. The people shall ascend up every man before him. So, was there any instruction of go around the city and praise God? What were they to do? Go around, you will see verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise. That means they were instructed not to go around the city without making noise. Right? You shall not shout or make noise with your voice. Not make noise with your trumpet. The trumpet is to be blown at a particular time after they go around for 6 days. With your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. So he said, don't make noise with your voice. He now went further and said, don't let anything come out from your mouth. That means they went out silently. That means that negates your song. The instruction was that they should march around, give the priest horns. Look at it carefully. Look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest. So that was God giving Joshua the instruction. And he was giving the priest. He called the priest, right? And said unto them, take up the ark of covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. Look at verse 7. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is hand pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now, that means there was a practice they were to do round about the city's wall. Look at John 1:29. Just hold your hand there. Put your hand in Joshua chapter 6, verse 7. Go to John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said what? Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Quick question. Quick question. Lamb and ram, are they in the same family? Yes. If you say a horn of a ram, how do you get a horn of a ram? By killing a ram. So who is that ram or lamb? Christ. So it was that there will be a lamb, a horn that will come from the killing of a lamb that they will blow, which will now be their shout of victory. You cannot get a horn, the horn of a ram without the ram being dead. Who is your lamb? That's why John is saying, behold the lamb of God. So who is God's lamb? So that was a type and shadow of Christ. Point your attention on what is happening, not the event around it. Point your attention on things behind the event, not the event. What you will read casually is lamp, horn, blow. That's the end. But that was a sign of victory. So the victory a believer has is blown by the horn of the ram that has been killed. Is that clear? So it's not the children of God representing that they were dancing around and were doing praise. It's not say children of God were doing praise and worship around the city. So we stop directing our eyes on the event and start directing our eyes on the message of Christ. Message of Christ. Now, write this down properly. The way prayer must be doctrinal is the same way praise must be doctrinal. The way prayer, when I mean doctrinal, that means something that is taught. It is a doctrine. Prayer is a doctrine. The same way prayer is a doctrine is the same way praise should be a what? A doctrine. The same way prayer is a doctrine is the same way praise should be a doctrine. Now, very profound. We should be able to take God's word to sing. Write this down. We should be able to take your praise to explain God's word. We should be able to take God's word we're explaining to sing. I'll say that again. We should be able to take your praise to explain God's word. That is, when you sing, a man can come and pick the lyrics of your song and teach God's word from your lyrics. We are to be able to sing the message of the church and be able to teach the songs of the church. We are to be able to, what I'm saying, we are to be able to sing what I'm teaching. And if we sing, we should be able to teach what we are singing. So if I'm saying your sins are forgiven, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, oh, glory, 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 and everything. A member can come and pick a mic and sing concerning that fact. That's what we're going to look at properly next week. Singing in psalms, singing in psalms, hymns, and giving praise unto the Lord. So I should be able to teach as a pastor, and the what I'm saying should be able to be sung. I should also be able to come out and sing to edify the saints, and one of you can pick out the words of what I'm saying or singing to teach. Look at the song we sang this morning. I'm forgiven, I'm free, I believe. What's the last part? I'm a child of God. You should be able to pick those four lines and teach God's word from it. That's when you know you are singing in alignment to the truth of God's word. So the way prayer is doctrinal, praise is doctrinal. Quickly today, we'll touch something in passing. Remember, Christ should determine the disposition of the believer when we sing. What we do during praise and worship, because it is not entertainment, we need to avoid everything that causes distraction. So that our attention will be on who? Christ. There is something that we do in the church today, churches today, that is not in the New Testament for once. I want you to follow me attentively. There is a practice we do during praise and worship, or when somebody finishes talking, and it's not mentioned for once in the New Testament. Who can guess what that word is? Clap. Clap was never for once mentioned in. You know, you have a phone Bible. Go and search clap. Remember, we are to use the words of the Bible, the vocabulary of the Bible, to maintain our vocabulary. So we're going to go through clap quickly. What is clap? What was clap used for? Write this before we go into clapping. We are to be silent where the New Testament is silent on. We are to be silent on topics or on things where the New Testament is silent on, and loud on where it is loud on. This line will guide you throughout this week and next week. We are to be silent on things that New Testament is loud on, or silent on rather, and loud on things that New Testament is what? Loud on. Remember, we established that praise is what is said. Right? Praise is about what? What is said. And about what has been done. That is what praise is. So there is no instruction in New Testament Bible, in New Testament books, to clap. Not once. Not once is, are you instructed as a believer to clap. But is there anything wrong in clapping? There can't be anything wrong in clapping. You, I don't know of your hand. But we are to be loud where the New Testament is loud and silent when the New Testament is silent. So, clapping, as we use in our day and time for praise and worship, might mean to put tempo. Right? You can clap to keep tempo. But we will see that you can clap to make melody, right? Ta 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 ta. So you can use clap to make melody. But in the New Testament, we're instructed. Let's take it step by step. So we've established that praise is what is singing or saying something, something that has been saying something about what has been approved or commended. If we go through the Old Testament properly, we would see what clapping implies. Clapping was used for, we will see it now. Can we go together? Are we good? Let's start from Numbers 24 verse 10. Numbers 24 verse 10. We're going to be fast here because we have a few minutes to go. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hand together. That word, smote his hand together, is what you consider as clapping. Now, let me give you the Greek word, for the Hebrew word for clapping. Write this down. Clap, clap, clap. There are three different words for that word, clap. Maka, M-A, Macha, M-A-C-H-A, M-A-C-H-A, M, mango, A, apple, C, crocodile, H, house, A, apple, Macha, then Naka, N-A-K-A-H, Maka, Naka, N-A-K-A-H, and Saga, S-A-G-A. So these are three words that have been used on various occasions across the Old Testament. And the meaning of this word implies to strike or beat your hands together. So Maka, Naka, Saga, they imply to strike your hands together or beat your hands together. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. Now, someone that was angry and claps, what do you think that would signify? Now, we'll understand this better. Go to Job. Go to Job 27, verse 22. Look at it though. For God shall cast upon him and not spare, he would fain flee out of his hands. Look at verse 23 carefully. Men shall clap their hands at him, and they shall ease him out of the place. If you read from previous verses, we will see that I was talking about how this disposition, rather, of a man that people will clap their hands at and shall ease him out. That means, now, in our day and time, when you clap for somebody, what does that mean? You are easing them in. Right? But when they were clapping for people, what were they doing? Easing them out. Look at Job 34. Verse 37. So, when you are easing somebody out with your clap, are you not mocking the person? Yeah. So, we see clap was used for mockery. So, the same way you see Balak smote his hand together, clap was in mockery from his place of anger. We'll see many verses. So, for he added rebellion unto his sin, and clapped his hands among us, and multiplied his word against God. Look at verse, look at verse 36. Start from verse 36. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answers for wicked men. Verse 37. So he added rebellion unto his sin. He clapped his hands amongst us and multiplied his words against God. That is to say, this was a time. Now, he clapped his hands amongst, right? Multiplied. This was an example of a mockery statement. Or rather, this clapping here was a mockery activity of Job. He was mocking. So we've seen three verses now where clapping was for mockery. Are we there? Are we there? So clapping was to ease people out. It was like sarcasm. Look at Lamentation 2 verse 15. Lamentation 2 verse 15. Quickly, let's see Lamentation 2 verse 15. Lamentation is in the Bible. That's not figure of speech. Look at that. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They what? Hiss. And wag their head at the daughter. What's the meaning of wagging? So, they are clapping and wagging as a sign of what? Mockery. So, they hissed and wagged their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty? So, wonder shall never end. Is this the city? That's it. So, clapping, you know. So, is this what they call perfection of beauty? The joy of the whole world? They were hissing and wagging and they were nodding their heads, right? Look at 1 Kings. Look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 11 verse 12. 2 Kings 11 verse 12, quickly. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him. If you read the background of his story, which we will look at properly on Wednesday, what was spoken about was a king who did not deserve to be king but was made king. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. That was sarcasm. What I'm doing for this service is to show us where the verses are. We'll go into them in details. You know, oh, clap your hands, bang, 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 bang. Oh, ye people. Look at it carefully. Look at Ezekiel 22 verse 13. Ezekiel 22 verse 13, quickly. Behold, therefore, I have smitten my hands at a dishonest what? Gain. So, smiting his hand was against what? A dishonest gain which thou hast made. He wasn't, because your gain was dishonest, that's why he was clapping. That means your dishonest gain is not something good. Look at Nahum 3:19. Nahum is in the Bible also. There is no healing of thy bruise, thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruise of thee shall clap their hands over thee, for upon whom had not thy wickedness passed continually. This was mockery also and sarcasm. I just did that to open us to the scriptures. Now, you know that chapter that says, clap your hands, O ye people? Psalms 47. Now, read together. 1, 2, 3, go.
Open up your hands, O ye people. Shout out to God with the voice of Israel.
Next verse.
For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth.
Next verse. Look at verse 1 again. Four people come quickly. Four people quickly come. Join them, join them. Come. Four people. 1, 2. Join him here. 2 of you. Join him here. Yeah. Beautiful. Now, oh, clap your hands, oh, ye people. Give me one more person. Okay. You know what? Before we do that, go to Joel. Just hold your hands in Psalm 47. Go to Joel chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up. So, what are they to proclaim? Prepare war, wake up your mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Come together, everyone here. Come together, everyone. Yeah. So, now I'm giving you an instruction. These are your people, these are her people. So, I'm saying these are Gentiles. So, I'm saying proclaim something to your Gentiles. You are their leader. Me, I have my own set of people. Right? So you are to proclaim to the Gentiles that what? Gentiles should prepare for war. The men of war, they should come up close. Look at the next verse. Beat your plowshares into swords. What is plowshares? What you use for farming. Right? For plowing. Convert it to swords. Come on. Imagine we are kings. And I'm telling you, proclaim to the Gentiles, your people. They should get ready for war. They should beat their plowing equipment to swords and their pruning hook into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Is that not sarcasm? See verse 11. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye Ethan, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down. So I'm saying, go and get your best men. Go and get your best men. Let them prepare for war. In fact, don't even use only your gun. Convert everything you have in your garage to weapon. Those are the Gentiles. That was sarcasm. So, later we say, I am strong, was a sarcastic statement to the Gentiles, who I know I can defeat and I will defeat. I have mighty men enough to defeat them. But it looks like they are sluggish for war. And I'm a man always ready for war. And I'm saying, go and tell your people, come on, come on, come on, go and convert everything. Come, come, come. That's sarcasm. It's not saying if you are weak on Monday morning, just say I'm strong and go to work. All together. Properly, we're going to look at this on Wednesday. Now, I just jumped here to show us Psalm 47. Go back to your team. Go back to your team. Psalm 47. Verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now, did he say clap your hands and shout unto God? Follow. Did he say clap your hands and shout unto God? I just said and. Is there and there? So why is not a mystery? Clap your hands, O ye people, is a statement on his own. Shout unto joy, unto God with the voice of triumph is a statement. So what are they to do unto God from that statement? Shout. Look at verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible, right? He is breaking over all the earth. Now, these are the Israelites. We are Israelites, right? These are other people. Now, the Israelites think that they are the most unique people on earth. Now, me being the leader of the Israelites, I'm saying, my people, clap your hands. Remember, we sing clapping as mockery. I'm saying, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout. And clap your hands. But I'm not saying clap your hands unto God. Do you get that? So it is clap your hands. That's the statement on his own. It will show you what the clapping of hands is to in the next few verses. Because in their culture, clapping was for mockery. You will see why they were asked to clap, also why they were shouting. Look at verse 3. He shall subdue the people. Look at it though. That means we are talking about two sets of people. All clap your hands, O ye people, for he shall subdue the people. So, Israelites are saying, I'm their leader, clap your hands, O ye people, shout unto joy, for he shall subdue the people. The word they subdue there is to beat. The word daba, subdue, write it down. S-U-B-D-U-E, daba, D-A-B-R. Now, it shall subdue the people under us. When you hear subdue the people under us, what comes to your mind? Victory. So, it shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Israelites were people that seemed unique within themselves and they felt, you know how my mom used to say something when I was much younger. There are two Joshuas in this world, her son and others. You understand that? So she sees her, she holds her son in high esteem and knows that every other person, she will say, every other Joshua is a counterfeit. But that was Shad then. So Israel were those people that only had high esteem for themselves. So I'm saying, clap your hands. What will their clapping of hands now mean? Mockery towards the people that will be subdued. What is your shout unto God mean? A sign of victory, for he has subdued. So you are shouting and singing, shouting a voice of triumph and clapping, one unto God, one against the people. Mockery. Look at verse 4. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Selah. You know that thing, Selah? You know the meaning? Pause and ponder. That means get to this point, pause and ponder on these words. Now, God is gone up with a what? So can you see, shout and God, they are together. The same way in verse 1, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The Lord with a sound. Can you see everything that had to do with the Lord had to do with a shout or a sound? Look at verse 6. Sing, can you see? Shout, right? Sound, sing. Unto who again? You see the next thing, sing praises unto the king. Sing praise. Can you see how many times you say sing praises there? So what you should do towards God is what? Something about a proclamation. Sing praises. Not clap to God. Because in their culture, clapping was for mockery. So their clapping in the entire Psalms 47 was to show a sign of mockery towards the people that will be under their feet. Thank you. Look at verse 7. For God is the King of all earth. Sing ye, can you say again? So you see sound, shout, sing praises mentioned predominantly in what? Chapter 47. And the word clap was mentioned once. Remember, we started this conversation from somewhere. The word clap was not mentioned once in the New Testament books. So, for the king, verse 8, God reigned over the earth and God seated upon the throne of his holiness. Verse 9, I think that's the last verse. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belongs to God, is greatly exalted. Now, the Jewish guys exalt themselves higher than every other nation. So, who are the people they are going to defeat? Who are the people that are under them? What do they do towards these people after they found victory? They clap. What did they do unto God? Children of Jericho, the wall of Jericho that we saw, what did they do unto God? With what? Their trumpet, right? The ram's horn. Where did the ram's horn come from? So everything we see them do was towards what? A saying, a shouting, or a voicing. And we saw clapping to ease people out of a place. Go back to your seat. Thank you. So we see that, you know, in Bible interpretation, we see lots of sarcastic statements. For instance, one of the sarcastic statements we'll look at on Wednesday is when Jesus said, the whole needs no physician, the sick that need physician. That was sarcasm. He was talking to a sick person that thought he had everything going well for him. So imagine I know this brother. No one, you can sit down. Imagine I know this brother, and I'm his banker, and I'm also his pastor, for instance. And I know that in his account, he has less than 1,000 naira. Actually, I'm his banker. I'm also his pastor. And he now comes and now asks for me. Maybe he doesn't even know I'm his account manager. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe I'm the one monitoring his account. Me, I saw it on Friday evening. I even have a lot on my phone. If money enters his account, I will see it. He has only 1,000 naira in his pocket. But he now comes to the church on Sunday. And he just stands at the door. I want us to convert this AC to central unit. That bus outside, just change it. And now say, the rich don't need money. Hear what I said. Okay, the rich don't need money. I know he has 1,000 naira. In my sarcasm, there's mockery. I know he doesn't have. But I'm sarcastically saying, so, or let's say after he now says, let's change all this place to central AC. He now comes and say, Pastor, please, my ATMs are not working. My Uber is not working. Can you borrow my car? No. Can I borrow him 2,000 naira? Remember, he had already portrayed himself as someone that has so much money. And then he can say, Brashegun, the rich don't need money. So it was a man that was sick, but he felt he was alive. Then Jesus now told him, I said, the whole needs no physician, the sick that need physician. So the sarcasm was, you think you are whole, but you are a sick person. So the sarcasm in this statement is that you think you have money, but you are broke. But I'm not using it to spite you. And I say, you rich, no, I'm a financial, you can just trek home. Sarcasm. Same thing he said to the angel, let the weak, so I know I can defeat you. And I say, go and call. You know how Nigerians like to fight? When time is fine for fight. You know who I be? Anybody that start making that noise, you don't know anybody. Yeah, you be nobody. Maybe it's your father that is somebody, but you yourself, you be nobody. Because if you be somebody, you will not be in that position of shouting, you know who I be. Shay, why do we need to go to a player and say, you know who I be? Because you know be anybody. There is nobody that you are be. And that thing has dealt with us in this country. Do you know who I am? You are better be your who I am should better who you are in Christ. You are forgiven and saved forever. You know, anger can make, remember when dealing with believers' conduct, anger can push you to sin. Be ye angry and sin not. Remember that correction? Be ye not angry and sin. Anger will push you to say what you should not say. Sometimes I see some people driving. You can see their car even needs repair. But because somebody did not press brake close to them very well, they want to roll and go and park in front of the person. And jump out. You know who I am? Hallelujah. So we've seen what praise is, what worship is. Worship is about what? The sacrifice. So our praise should speak about the sacrifice that has been accepted. Who is our offering? Christ. So a believer has his worship accepted because Christ is his offering, and he has done it once and for all, forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So on Wednesday, we'll continue this. On Wednesday, we'll continue this properly. Look into what clapping is. Look into the instructions we are asked to follow in the New Testament, in the New Testament church. A New Testament church is, remember it says that when you are speaking in tongues and a new person walks in and he believes, what does he do? He falls to the ground. Why is he falling to the ground? Because that is what he saw them doing. Hallelujah. So there is no Christian dance. There is no gospel dance. But you should know, you know. So in as much as we are people that have emotions, we don't sing from our emotions. Emotions might come in when you are thinking about the work of Christ. But emotions should not lead you. Emotions are bad leaders but good followers. These and many more we're going to look at properly on Wednesday and on Sunday. That's where we'll end today.